Well, again, good morning. Welcome to Faith Point Church. We're so glad that you're here. If I've not gotten the chance to come and meet you, and this is your first time here, my name is George Watson. I'm the pastor here. For 16 years, we have sought to be the kind of church that makes more and stronger disciples or followers of Jesus, who in turn make more and stronger followers or disciples of Jesus. And so we're really glad that you're here. And I pray that two things happen in the midst of our worship time this morning. Number one, that you would experience Christ, that we have gathered. This is not a club or a sorority or fraternity. This is a church. This is the body of Christ. We have gathered to worship God. So first thing I hope happens is that you, in fact, do that, that you worship God, that you have an encounter with Christ. And number two, that you get to know a little bit about who we are as a church family. We're called Faith Point. We're really glad that you're here today. I am in the midst of a series that I'm calling The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith. We're taking some time out to just revisit and to remind ourselves of 16 of the basic core essential doctrines of the Christian faith. Doctrines or tenets or foundations that help us to understand, what does it really mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it really mean to be a disciple? Last week, I showed you a video that National Geographic did, that they went to 22 countries and put a microphone in front of people and said, who is God? And to be perfectly honest, not a single one of those 22 people could really answer that question. Surveys tell us that on any given Sunday, only about 17% of the population is even in church. So well done, Faith Pointers, that you have gathered in this place today to worship God. See, we believe that we have the answer to everything that is wrong in our world, Jesus. We believe that we have the answer to everything that needs to be fixed in our world, and it's Jesus. We believe that we have the answer that is the hope, the encouragement, the answer to life itself, Jesus. And so we are really glad that you are here. In this series, The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith, we have begun every week by reminding ourselves what it is that we believe as Christians. In the year 390 AD, a group of folks came together in a place called Nicaea, came together, and they talked and discussed what it means to really have faith in Christ, and they came up with what is called the Apostles' Creed. And so since approximately 400 AD, churches throughout time and space have been professing and saying together what it is they believe the central doctrines or tenets of the Christian faith. So I want to invite you to join with me as we begin our worship time, digging into God's word to discover another basic about our Christian faith, what it is that even if we only understand this in part right now, and hopefully we'll understand it in more fullness and completeness as we finish this series, what it is that we believe. So keeping up with tradition and with the history of the church, when the pastor would stand before the people and say, Christians, what is it that you believe? Let's join together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Again, just to remind ourselves, why is it that we are spending all of this time, this designated time, looking at the basic tenets of the Christian faith? And I oppose to you two big reasons. We're just going to put them up on the screen because they bear worth repeating over and over and over and over again. We need to know the basics because what we believe as followers of Jesus has vital, eternal consequences. And we believe that the Bible is our starting point, our checkpoint, and the final authority because that's what the Bible says that it is. We read in places like Romans 1:15, verse 4, Scripture gives us hope and encouragement. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:13, focus on reading the Scriptures. We find in places like 2 Timothy 3:16, where Paul says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So just those three verses alone serve as a good foundation for us as to understand why is it that the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is so important to us as believers in Jesus. So we are in week three of this series, actually week four because I did an introduction, but week three of looking at some of the basic questions that we should be able to answer about our faith. We looked the last couple weeks at the doctrine of God. Question number one, we asked, who is God? And together, let's answer this. God is Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If anybody asks you who is God, that is the very first answer that you can give. We answered that 2 weeks ago. Last week, we asked the question, what is God like? What is this God who we worship? What is this like? And our answer is, God is perfect in power, knowledge, and in his holy love. Well, today and in a couple weeks, we are going to look at the next series of questions looking at the doctrine of creation, looking at everything that is. There are two questions that are framed out of Phil Tallon's book, The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith. The first question is, well, what did God make? So we've talked about who is God, what is God like. Then we're going to look at who, what is it, what did God make? And question number two, which in some ways is a very hard question, is why is there evil? But this morning, we're going to look at question number one, what did God make? And as I've shared with you, we're taking this from Phil Tallon's book, The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith, and I'm adding some things into there. But again, what we're attempting to do is to give all of us a very simple answer to the question. Exhaustive, not a chance. But it gives us a place to start. It gives all of us an opportunity to be able to have an answer for the questions that come before us so that we can begin conversation, we can begin dialogue with people, because inquiring minds really do want to know. Who is God? What is God like? What did God make? Why is there evil? There are so many questions the unbelieving world has. And if we do not have the answers to those questions, then as Paul addresses his audience in Romans, well, what's going to happen to them? Who will tell them if we don't? Who will show them if we don't? And those are rhetorical questions that the answer is they might not and they won't. So we must be equipped and prepared to answer the questions that come before us, both so that we can have conversation starters and so that we can figure out ways to have ongoing dialogue with our friends, family members, neighbors, people in our social networks who do not know Jesus. Because our mission as a church, the mission of every single church across the face of this planet that professes Jesus as Lord and Savior, is to make more and stronger followers of Jesus. So we have to be able to answer these questions. So our question, what did God make? And the answer is this: God spoke everything into being by his own free choice. And it was very good. God spoke everything into being by his own free choice, and it was very good. Let's practice this, because you need to be able to answer this question when people say, what about all this? Did God make this? What did God make? And you would say to them, God spoke everything into being by his own free choice, and it was very good. Now we're going to unpack what that looks like, but this is foundational for us. And we see this in Hebrews 11:3. In Hebrews 11:3, we read these words. By faith, so by trust, by belief, by positioning ourselves to believe, by faith, we understand, followers of Jesus, we understand that the universe, that's everything, was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. What was seen was not made out of what is visible. So what does that look like? Let's break this down so that we can continue the conversation with people, so that we can continue to talk about what is it that we believe about God and why. So the first premise here is that God made the world and everything in it. There's a funny story about some engineers who were having a conversation with God, and they're like, hey God, I can make whatever you can make. And God was like, okay, prove it. So they started gathering together some dirt and put it in a mound and started to do some things. And God said, hey, wait a minute. That's my dirt. Get your own. See, it's an important conversation because what we're going to talk about this morning is that it is our God who made everything. He made the world and everything in it. So number one, by his will. God made the world and everything in it by his will. In other words, he is the first cause. It tells us that God was conscious about what he was doing. It was a choice that he made, that it was intentionality, that there was order, that God thought and then he created. So it was by the very will of God that he created all there is. Genesis is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It paints this beautiful picture of God's creative work at hand. I gave you a few verses here in Genesis 1, and then I put 1, 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, and 31, because they all start the same way. And look what it says. In the beginning, God created. Then God said. Then God looked over all he had made and saw that it was very good. Which each successive day of creation, it says, and God said, God spoke, and it came into being. And on the very last day, God steps back and he's like, it's good. Everything that came into existence by God's will. John 1:3 says that God created everything through him. It's the allusion to question number one that we talked about a couple weeks ago about who is God. He is Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In John 1:3, that God created everything through him. Through who? Through Jesus. And nothing was created except through him. So we see the involvement of the Son in creation. Psalm 102, verse 25, long ago you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. Did God have physical hands? No, he didn't. Those are anthropomorphic words, as I was sharing with one of our students in confirmation earlier, that is language trying to encapsulate what God did. That by his intentionality, by his order, by his beauty, by his will, God created everything there is. So God made the world and everything in it by his will. From nothing. Can you say that with me? From nothing. Hard concept for us to understand. There's this great phrase that's referred to as ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. That God created all the matter in the universe. There was no matter before God. God spoke matter into being. God spoke everything into this beautifully ordered thing. God spoke matter into being. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, the Lord merely spoke. He merely spoke. And how could he do that? Because what is God like? He is perfect in power and knowledge and holy love, right? So if God is perfect in power, knowledge, and holy love, question number two, it's very simple for us to say, well, yes, God could merely speak. And the heavens were created. He breathed the word and all the stars were born. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Where God's going, stars, sun, earth, trees. How creative is our God? He'd be like, giraffe, hippopotamus, butterfly, man and woman in his image, unlike any other part of the created order. God spoke human beings into existence. And as we read a few minutes ago from Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And you know the interesting thing is, science is truly bearing out that there was a beginning. But God was before the beginning because God has always been. That God merely spoke everything into being the way it is. And he said it was very good. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. So God speaking everything into existence out of nothing, piece of cake. If we can buy the first four words of Genesis, in the beginning God, then the rest of it really is quite simple. Doesn't mean we understand it. But if we can, by faith, say yes in the beginning, in other words, as there always has been, or at the beginning of the creation process, there was God, then is anything else really too hard for God? So God made the world and everything in it by his will from nothing. You ever wonder why? As I was working on this message, there was this question that just kept coming into my mind. I'm like, well, why? Why did God do all that? He existed perfectly with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They had this perfect family. Why would God create all that stuff? And the best I got, the best answer I got, is because he wanted to. He wanted to. It was his choice. Because our God is a creating, creative God. Why did he make all this stuff? Because he wanted to. Because he wanted to make this stuff. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, our psalmist cries out, "When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars set in place." You ever do that? You ever go out where there's like no light pollution and just look? What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? Must be pretty high, right? Why did he make us? Because he wanted to. And he wanted to make us the pinnacle of his creation. We're the only part of the created order that has a soul that is eternal, that will live forever either with God or apart from God. With all of the creation's creativity and beauty, yes, the cosmos is marred by sin. We have tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and droughts, and we have that stuff because of sin. But God looked at everything he made originally and said, "It is so good," because he wanted to. And so in Revelation 4:11, we read these words, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and praise, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." So why did God create the giraffe and the hippopotamus and the butterflies and you and me and everybody else? Because he wanted to. He not only wanted to, but it gave him great pleasure to do that. Why did God create the world and everything else? Because it gave him pleasure. Because one of the attributes of our God is a God of emotion and relationships. That our God feels happy and sad and loving. And he was so pleased to look at what he made. It gave him great pleasure. He gets done, as I said, and he looks at it all. He's like, "This is very good." And then he says to Adam and Eve, "Reign over this. Have dominion over it. Take care of it. Be fruitful and multiply. Take care of what I have made for you." That was an awesome responsibility that they had. And we're going to talk about their choice when we look at the problem of evil. Because evil exists because of the choices of men and women. And of angels, actually, as well. But in the beginning, God looked at all of this and said that it was so good that he made it because he wanted to, and it gave him great pleasure. Psalm 104, verse 31. Let's read it together. "The Lord takes pleasure in all he has made." Do you know who that includes? You and me. He takes pleasure in us. He looks at us and he's like, that's my girl, that's my guy. He looks at us and says, "Hey, I knit you together in your mother's womb. You are not an accident. You were created on purpose. I love you. I had my hand in creating you with either curly hair or no hair, tall or not so tall. A creative person or an academic person. God created us. Each individual, unique, unrepeatable masterpieces. One of a kind originals. God created all of us. We're his. And it gave him great pleasure to do that. I love what Phil Tallon writes in his book. He says, we matter so much to God that he is constantly thinking about us. It's one of the things that sets us apart from the other religions of the world. Other religions have very diverse views of who God is. Some view God as this creating God who created and then steps away. Others have views that God was a created being and through God, that his business created other beings. Well, we don't believe any of that. We believe that our God has always existed as Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perfect in power, knowledge, and holy love, who created us by his free choice out of nothing, and it gave him great pleasure. And he is still intimately involved in that. And it gives God great pleasure because he thinks about us constantly. We are never not on the mind of God. How often are we not on the mind of other people? But with our God, he is always thinking about us. All 7 billion of us plus at the same time. He's always thinking about us. You are never too far from God. Because he's always thinking about you. He's always loving you. He's always watching you. Because his nature is that way, and he takes great pleasure in it. Now, you might be like me, and there might be times where you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, I do not like what I see. But you know what? When God looks at us, he says, I love you. And it gives me great pleasure to watch you, to see you, to know you, to help you, because you're mine. I created you. I created you. Yeah, your mom and dad had a part to play in that, but that was me. I did that. So God made the world and everything in it by his will. In other words, he's the first cause. He did it intentionally, and it was his choice. He created everything out of nothing, ex nihilo. He speaks matter into existence. He did it because he wanted to. Out of his free choice. He didn't have to. He didn't have to make you. But he wanted to. And it gave him great pleasure in doing that. And he doesn't just walk away. And that's number 5. That God sustains everything by his powerful word. So God doesn't place us here and then say, okay, you take care of it. Let me know if you need anything. God is right there with us. He's always with us. That he sustains this universe. That the moon doesn't come crashing into the earth because God made it that way. The sun doesn't fry us instantly because God made things that way. The giraffe looks the way it does. The hippopotamus looks the way it does. They eat what they do. They live the way they live. We are who we are because God did that. And we continue to do that because God is still intimately involved. Because he holds everything together by his powerful word. He keeps it going. Nehemiah 9:6 says that you alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens, all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. Then look what it says. You preserve them all. If God was not still sustaining, actively involved in the created order, we'd all be gone. In Colossians 2, 15 through 17 says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Through him, God created everything, that he existed before anything else, and look what it says, and he holds everything, all creation, together. So God is intimately, intentionally involved, sustaining all things, keeping all things going. So if God made the world and everything in it, if he did this by his will from nothing, if he made you and me because he wanted to, and it gave him great pleasure, and he sustains everything there is, what do we do with that? So what? What do we do with all that? We've talked about who is God, that he is Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've talked about the fact that God is perfect in power and knowledge and in his holy love. Today we talked about the fact that God spoke everything into being by his own free choice, and it was very good. So what do we do after knowing this? I think the answer is that we seek to know God and we seek to obey God. We show our gratitude to God for all that he has done and is doing and will yet do by simply obeying God. Because God has our best at heart. We have his word that tells us his heart. We have his son that shows us his heart physically. We have his word that lays out for us, you might call it a blueprint for life. You might call it a great instruction manual. I just simply call it God's word. That God says, here's how I want you to live. Here's what I want you to do and not do. Here are the parameters. Here's the guide for you to be all that I created you to be by my will, because I wanted to, because it gave me great pleasure to do that. And we show gratitude for that by obeying God. Seeing the world and life itself as a gift from God changes everything. If we begin to live our lives in this place of seeing everything that God has spoken into being, everything that God has created and sustains, which includes us, as a gift, what do we do with gifts? We hold them gently in our hands, don't we? The special gifts, what do? We take care of them. We might polish them. We're protective of them. My guess is I could go around this room and ask each one of you, did you ever get a really special gift? Like something that you really remember? Maybe when you were a kid, maybe when you got married, maybe at the birth of one of your children, maybe when you celebrated something. Like, is there a gift that is so special to you? I was reminded this week. I was able to go back to my seminary. I'm on the board there for some meetings, and I was just simply reminded this week that life itself is a gift from God. And have I been taking care of that gift? Have I been walking in this right relationship with God, where the gift that God has given me is being held precious, where I am seeking to know in a deeper and a stronger way all the time this God who created me, who is crazy about me, who takes great pleasure in me, who wanted me? And then I was reminded that the best way that I show how I'm taking care of that gift is by really following God. By allowing him to be the Lord of my life, to go where he says to go, to do what he says to do, to live how he says to live. Because it's in the midst of that kind of a relationship that I know that I find, and I promise you will too, the abundant life that God has for you. Because you're his. You're wanted. You were created. And it gave God great pleasure to do that and to sustain you.